Welcome to the National Association of Realtors Commercial Connections Podcast. This is the forum that features interviews with top commercial experts from across the country, sharing their best practices to help you improve your business.
Hi, this is Alex Ruggieri, CCIM. Thanks for joining us today on the Commercial Connections Podcast. My guest today is Michael Bull, CCIM, CRB. Michael is the founder of Bull Realty, a U.S. commercial real estate sales and consulting firm with three offices headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. The firm was founded 15 years ago with two primary missions: to grow a company of stellar integrity and reputation, and to provide the best commercial real estate marketing in the nation. Michael is a host of the nationally syndicated Commercial Real Estate Show, a popular weekly talk radio show about commercial real estate related topics. The shows are broadcast on 12 radio stations in 11 cities across the country. The shows are also available on demand on iTunes and multiple websites, including www.creshow.com. Michael speaks and moderates at many national events throughout the country. He has articles that have been published in multiple magazines and publications, including Restaurant News, National Real Estate Investor, Multi-Housing News, and many, many others. Welcome, Michael, to the podcast.
Alex, thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. I think we bumped into each other. Actually, I've known you for a while because I was introduced to you at a Society of Exchange Counselors marketing session once when I think we were in Austin, Texas. I can't remember the city, but I think it was Austin, Texas. And you were there as a guest of Ernie Edens. And so I got, and he's got to meet my broker. He's got a radio show, and I know you have a radio show and all of this stuff. And so I got a chance to meet you. But then we kind of bumped into each other again in Las Vegas at the National Association of, I think it was the International Shopping Centers, ICSC. And I took the occasion to say, Michael, you've got to come on the commercial podcast. Your expertise, your experience, and your just knowledge of commercial real estate is something that I'd like to share with our listeners today. And you picked a topic that you think is very timely in the market today regarding our cycle, and that is the rent versus buy decision that businesses are always faced with. And you have some thoughts on that. Why don't we start with that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think it's an incredible time where we are in the cycle right now. You know, like you said, I've been in the business 30 years, and I've never seen a better time for companies to consider buying their office space or buying their industrial building where they do their place of where they work. And there's, you know, several reasons why I think you know, that's a good timing right now.
Well, one of the things you talked about was buying below replacement cost. Is that really possible?
Yeah, I mean, if you look in most of the markets around the country, especially in some suburban markets around the cities, you can still buy office properties for less than replacement costs. Like, I did a study in the city of Atlanta a few weeks ago, and the average sale price was about $50 a square foot under the current replacement price cost.
Oh,
you know,
I believe
so, so people are buying below replacement cost, and you know, so it's a great time to do that. You know, another thing that we're seeing is that's real important to a user is where they're located, right? You know, they've got to have the right style of building and the right location. So everybody knows, you know, we just went through a terrible real estate-based recession. So right now, there's really a better selection than I've seen before. You know, so you can find the right property that fits your business. Because if it does, it's not the right property that fits your business, you probably shouldn't buy it if you're going to put your business there. But it's the right location, you know, you have a lot more choices right now.
Absolutely.
You know, another thing that we see is obviously the interest rates are so low. You know, so, you know, you can get remarkably low rates from SBA, with as little as 10% down. You can also get conventional, and you get such low interest rates you can lock in for a long time. And Alex, as you know, lenders love owner-occupants, just like they do in residential. You know, they love them in commercial because they're hoping to get their banking business, they're hoping to get their deposits, and banks will be very competitive to do loans for owner-occupants.
Absolutely, yeah. That's one trend I've noticed in commercial real estate is the banks are really leaning towards owner occupancy more so than ever because, you know, some of the banks had some problem loans, and most of the problem loans they had were people who had nothing, no connection to the real estate whatsoever. So they're more interested in, you know, those manufacturers that need a plant or an office user that's going to occupy the building, et cetera. And they've come out with some incredible programs just to attract those kinds of people.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, one thing that I found interesting over the years is when I sell a building for a business owner, most of the time they would tell me this, that their building was a windfall that they didn't expect, that they usually, when they bought, they didn't want to buy. You know, they didn't want to spend the cash. You know, they didn't want to deal with the hassle. And they bought for various reasons, like they were tired of escalating rents and they were trying to control their occupancy costs. Or they were tired of having to move. Or they were tired of the landlords not taking care of a building. You know, they didn't want to buy it, but when they're selling it, you know, time flies when you're paying bills, right? All of a sudden you've owned this business 12, 15, 20 years, and if you've bought, now you've got an asset that you've paid down and you've gotten some good appreciation out of it.
Oh, and sometimes, I mean, it is all the equity that a person has, and they don't even realize it. I remember when I was going through the executive MBA program so many years ago, I had, at the University of Illinois, had the chance to meet Stanley Kaplan. He was doing a tour through all of the campuses where he had a school, and he was the founder of the Stanley Kaplan Schools, which I think they call Kaplan University now, and he had just sold he had 240 locations across the country on campuses, and he just sold it to Westinghouse for $50 million. And I said, Stanley, this is so exciting. You just sold your company for $50 million. You must be so excited. He says, you know, it sounds like a lot of money, but if you think about it, I rented every one of the stores, every one of the storefronts, every one of the schools that we had. And my accountant always told me, Stanley, you're in the education business, not in the real estate business. He said there was one. He said we've never bought any of the real estate in 40 years. He said there was one building I had the chance to buy in downtown San Francisco for $15 million 40 years ago. And he said that building just sold for $240 million.
Wow.
And, you know, here he sold his whole company for $50 million, and one building out of the 240 sites that he occupied alone sold for $240
million. I know. And that is so amazing, and that ends up being a windfall. And there's a lot of things that a company owner can do with that equity. He can go borrow on that equity in that building down the road and use it to expand his practice. And another thing that you can do is do a sell lease back. So if you're a good credit company, you can go out and sell that and control it on a long-term lease and sell it as an investment property, control the asset, and make some money there. One of the things that we've seen some tenants do in this market is use your occupancy to increase the value of a building and take a vacant building. We've got one right now. We're increasing the value of the building about 25% by putting the tenant in it. Well, a tenant can buy it and then completely and then resell it, or in some cases sell it without even owning it. Set up the tenant, set up a long-term lease, and then sell it on the investment market and make some money as you move in as a tenant.
Oh, it is amazing what you can do. There was a fellow that I knew who was literally, what he was doing was he was buying companies, and then he would move them into buildings. And because he was able to, you know, he'd get the buildings really cheap because they were big industrial buildings that were empty and the people were desperate to get rid of them, then he'd move a company in there and then have the company sign a lease, and literally he'd make money buying the companies, but he also made huge sum of money just increasing the value of the real estate.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, when you look at, you know, if you do a 15-year amortization on your loan and you put that into your program and look at it, I mean, you might be there 15 years. You've got the building completely paid off. And so, you know, you've controlled your occupancy costs, you've controlled your environment, and you've created a great investment property. You know, another thing that a lot of business owners are going to be facing with is the FASB accounting changes. And, you know, those are expected to cause tenants to have to put their leases on their balance sheet. So leases will no longer be off the balance sheet. So they won't have that benefit to lead them toward leasing as well. So it's an amazing time that we're in when you look at below replacement costs, look at the lease accounting changes coming our way, you look at the selection and the interest rates and buying below replacement costs, it's really an incredible time that I've not seen before.
Yeah. And there's things that companies can do. I know, for instance, if they just want a lease, they can craft the lease in such a way that they still have some ownership options, like, say, an option to buy down the road, or that way they're the ones that are in control of that space if the opportunity arises where, hey, you know what, I think we are going to be here long term. Let's go ahead and exercise our option to buy.
Yeah, that's a good point, Alex. And, you know, one thing that you can also do is consider doing is, have you ever had a building out there and it's for sale and it's vacant, and you call an investor and they say, no, I like the building, like the location, don't like vacant buildings, call me back when you have a tenant. So if you have a tenant, you can also possibly create some equity for that tenant in a partnership where the tenant comes in and leases the building and then goes to the investor and says, look, I want 20% or 30% or whatever in ownership because I'm the one creating the value in this real estate investment for you. And guess what? The investor's pleased to do that because he's got 100% occupied building now with a partner tenant that cares about the building.
Wow. Yeah, that's an awesome idea. That is fantastic. These are all great ideas. Keep going.
Okay. Well, you know, it's a great time. So I think, you know, if you're a realtor and you have a tenant, one of the things you also want to look for, instead of just looking for buildings that are for lease, is also look for buildings that are only for sale. And, you know, look at them, and you don't necessarily have to tell the seller or the seller's agent that you have a tenant. You know, you're just showing the building, you know, and then you can come in and negotiate on that building with your investor as a vacant building because it's worth less vacant, especially in this current market. But you know you've got a tenant because you've shown it to a tenant. And so I wouldn't leave out as an agent buildings that are just for sale and the landlord or the agent just says, look, we're only selling this, we're not going to lease it. Okay, you can also show your tenant that deal. And even if the tenant doesn't want to buy, well, maybe you put him in a great building, get him a great new landlord and make a sale too. So you do a sale and a lease, even if the tenant doesn't want to buy.
That's amazing. That's amazing. What other ideas you have?
Well, another idea I have is, you know, if you're selling a building that has some vacancy and you look at it as an income property, well, income property, you know, as you know, and most people listening, you sell that, you know, on cap rate and return on investment, and you're talking to investors. And, you know, right now in this market, they really don't value the vacancy very much, especially in some markets. It's starting to change, but they definitely don't put as much value on the vacant part of the space. So I think if you're representing that seller, you also want to look at owner-occupants and make sure that you're looking at, well, how much space is vacant, what kind of businesses would do well there. So you're not just marketing to investors. You're going out and find the user that would do well in that location, and you're trying to get them in to look at buying the property. You know, talking to them about the benefits, you know, that we've mentioned today,
yeah,
about the incredible timing and about the increase in value that they're creating. And then even if they don't want to buy it, they can become a tenant, or maybe they become a partner, or like you mentioned, maybe they just have some of the upside.
Yep, yep.
You know, maybe the
key is to be
look,
Yeah, the key is to be flexible in your thinking and look for these opportunities. Now, we've got just about a minute left. I don't know. You've hit us with so many ideas. They're so wonderful. I hope the listeners will just replay the podcast and just kind of write them down. But why don't you send us off with the three most important things we can use to help us with our clients that might increase our income, might help us make some more sales on this rent versus buy thing.
Okay. Well, one, if you're helping a tenant look for lease space, consider purchase options as well and look at that. Don't leave that out of the mix. Even if they tell you they just want to lease, they don't care how the sausage is made. You know, they just want to eat the sausage. Also consider joint ventures between your tenants and investors. And, again, they may be able to do that with no cash outlay and have some benefit of ownership. And then the third one I'd say is when you're marketing properties that have any kind of vacancy, make sure you are going out to owner-occupants and you're speaking their language. You're not telling them, hey, this is a great investment cap rate. Show them how this would be good for their business, the visibility, the signage, the traffic flow, and then the reduced occupancy cost, and talk to them in their language so that you can get their attention.
Wow, fantastic. I so appreciate you sharing with us today. We're out of time, but we have been talking with Michael Bull. He is a nationally syndicated talk show host on the radio, and you can tune in to his show at www.creshow.com. Michael, thank you so much for being with us on Commercial Connections Podcast today.
Alex, I appreciate it. It's a great time. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us on the Commercial Connections Podcast, the place for you to learn the best practices from the best commercial experts in the country.